Chema. So today we are continuing with Collected Works of the Mother, Volume 13, also as Words of the Mother, Part 1. That's how they have been also known. And it's a very interesting series because here we have something about Sri Aurobindo's life, something about the mother's life, about the Mahasamadhi and their work, teaching, the ashram, Auroville. So those who want to know India, what mother has said about India. So today we'll read, probably it'll take two or three talks on that aspect, which is we know as the Sri Aurobindo ashram. So it's very interesting because a lot of people want to know, they sometimes write that they want to join and they don't know where to write. So they end up. So first of all, we must understand that the ashram is not a mentalized creation. What I mean by that is that normally, how do people build something? They have an idea. And when the idea comes, they plan. And then when the plan is ready, they execute. At executing level means they will buy a big space and they will build a nice building. And they will accommodate, like cater for so many people. But ashram has never been like that. And there is a beauty in that. You'll find something similar in Auroville. So the beauty about the ashram is that it has naturally grown. Today we use the word organically, but I would use the word divinely. Now, what is the basis of this growth? The basis of this growth is aspiration in those who came and the needs of people who wanted to stay, and therefore things came up. So if we really look at many of the things, if we go back to the history of the ashram, so there were people who were coming to Sri Aurobindo to listen to the talks, and then the mother had also joined in 1920. And a group was kind of forming, but Sri Aurobindo did not officially take them as disciples, though it was understood that they are now, you know, following Sri Aurobindo. So in 1926, 24th November, after the descent of the Over Mind Consciousness, when it was very clear that now the path is cleared for the supramental manifestation, then Sri Aurobindo and the mother, he gave the mother charge of the sadhana and he withdrew for the next step, that is the supramental descent and manifestation subsequently. So when mother took the charge, she started organizing. So she started organizing the way the divine Shakti does it. So as people came and gathered, they would require, let's say, a space. So outwardly, if you see, there is a building which is available and she would use it to accommodate and space will come. And as the requirement increased, new spaces were created. So just to take an example, for quite some time, I think till 1930, the dining room was inside. Definitely till 30, maybe a little more than that. So people used to eat food. There was a place next to Prosperity, if I remember correctly, where people used to come, and it was a very small place where all these people will gather together. And that's how then even the ashram buildings were purchased one after another. There are four buildings which have been fused together. It was not that, okay, let's buy the whole building and make a plot. No. So when there was only the front section of the ashram that was purchased, then Sri Aurobindo used to live upstairs. What today is, you know, that's the room we just see as soon as we are about to enter, we see that room. And then there was another part which was purchased. Then the part which today where Sri Aurobindo and the mother lives, that's I think the last one to be purchased. So they were purchased in different points of time in different ways. And then they shifted from one to another. And it's very interesting how things happen in a very interesting way, because the number of the residence number of Sri Aurobindo was number 9. and now it, what is it? Leda Marine. So that's how, Marine Street, that's how we know it. And now it is 9/12. So 9 is the number of material perfection. And 12 is the Divine Mother's number. So it's all evolved. Then playground. Today if we go to the playground, we see it is amazing. But how it started? It started with the very humble beginnings. There was suddenly a sadhak, I think it was Birinda, who wanted to do build his muscles with, what is it called, those things which are dumbbells. So he asked the mother. Mother said, show me. So he showed how many kgs, what dumbbell he studied. He said, good. Now that became the seed eventually. For as the aspiration grew, so the ashram grew. So by organic, I mean, it's a play between the aspiration and the grace. So ashram is always, as Sri Aurobindo said, there are two atmospheres in the ashram, the human and the divine atmosphere. And it's a play between the divine and the human. Because its purpose is not to just have buildings, a very big meditation center where everybody can come and meditate. No, it's a laboratory of spiritual evolution. That's what Sri Aurobindo said. So those who are called, who come, and you can't do it mechanically. There is nothing like ashram doesn't advertise anyone, doesn't believe in converting anyone, doesn't go and tell people that you must come and join. And if you look at it, it's so strange that as the requirements come, people come. And why they come, how they come, each one has his own history. So that's how we see that, you know, ashram has grown, aspiration and the grace. So, and mother said also, she said that if you want to change things here, you cannot do it outwardly. She said it is by the conversion of the members of the ashram that the change will come. You can't do it mechanically by any kind of outer rules, regulations. So actually never was any formal rule announced except much later. That too, when people kept on asking the mother, mother, please make some rules. So she made 4 rules and then she explained them. But otherwise there never was any rule. The only rule was that always behave as if the mother is looking at you, because she is always present. So it's an yoga ashram where people are here to do sadhana. So people ask, what if somebody doesn't do sadhana? The answer would be, it's his loss. That's it. We are not bothered about, you know, who is doing, who is not doing. And it's true that it's not that everybody is here for the sadhana, especially after the 40s. Because in 40s, the ashram has its own history. We'll talk about it maybe some other time, because here we are confined to the volume. So the history is that it arose spontaneously, and the mother and Sri Aurobindo, the mother says that Sri Aurobindo and myself, after that 24th November 1926, they were wondering whether they should go ahead for the supramental transformation or they carry the world together. And she says that nature responded, so people came. And because people came, they started their combined journey. That's why many people don't understand why Sri Aurobindo had to leave the body and why mother had to go through the difficulties. Because it was not a isolated sadhana that they did. And that is the character of the ashram even now. So, till a certain point, there were just individuals. Mother says, I had kept them in the cocoon. But now, everybody is interconnected. So, each one who makes progress helps the progress of others. And if somebody doesn't make the progress, creates the burden for others. So invariably at any given point of time, she says, there are few who are taking the larger share of the burden. So it's not like that if you are making progress, you are spared. No, you take the larger burden. So it's the law of yajna, sacrifice, is applied here in the deepest way, in its most widest and profound way. So that's how the ashram came up. And it was certainly not meant for a sadhana of just inner concentration and meditation. You won't find a single meditation hall. Once I humorously remarked, somebody was telling me, you know, in this city they made such a big meditation center. So they said, I wish we had something like that in the ashram. So I said, you know, there is no official meditation hall in the ashram. So the person knew about it, but it never struck. So I asked that, do you know why? And I said, all life is meant to be meditation. You can't divide life between. And of course, those who want to meditate, the samadhi is there, and whole of ashram courtyard is a most profound meditation room. And of course, the playground is there. But there is nothing like a separate meditation hall, as if you are cutting from life. So here, life and yoga are intertwined with each other. So this is another unique part of the ashram, that this ashram is not just about, there is a meditation room, a puja room, some place where satsang is held, and some food. I have been to quite a few ashrams, so I know what really happens. So there is a library, there will be a meditation room, or maybe the person's, some room where the original person did sadhana or samadhi is there. And then there would be basically some food arrangement for the inmates, and on occasions for all those who come, they can take prasadam. This is a basic thing. Now, when a doctor may come time to time, do a health checkup, or a doctor may give free service to others, there is nothing of this kind here. You have all the activities in life are represented here. And of all these activities, the biggest is sports. And people ask Sri Aurobindo and the mother, why are activities like physical education, exercises, sports in a place like the ashram? And he reminds us that in ancient times in Gurukul, it used to be the way, norm. Because if the body is weak, you cannot bear the descent of the Divine Mother Shakti. So, then series of essays of Sri Aurobindo. And you have everything else. You have art department. You have Hublik, which I think now it's closed. So it grows like that, based on the aspiration. Somebody else may come and start something new. This is how ashram has been. If you want to, there are things which mother has left in the seed state. For example, she wanted a place which is dedicated to the media, which is not yet there, but I do believe sometime it may come up. She had even said it can come in the lake area. So imagine, you know, cinematography. Now, what has that got to do with the ashram? But she had already conceived of this plan. We have, of course, the school, the handmade paper and marbling section, solar energy projects, all these, many, many things. And dining room itself, we have different varieties. We have for the ashram people, as children came, for the children and teachers, of course, dispensary is there, nursing home is there. So there is a variety of activities are represented here. Painting, music, poetry, art, dance, everything that one can imagine. So because the ashram is conterminous with life, in the sense that yoga is conterminous with life. Sri Aurobindo wanted the life to be transformed and not abandoned. So here the thing is that the sadhaks are not sannyasis who have withdrawn from life. At the same time, they are not meant to be living indulgently with life. And it's not like they are meant to just lead a compromised life in between the two. So what are they doing? Because this is a problem which people say. Well, you start with where you are, like a raw material. You have an aspiration, and for whatever divine reason, you are taken in. And then every activity of life that you are engaged in, you naturally find interest in, they have to be progressively transformed. First, the motives have to be converted. Then there has to be a spiritual conversion wherein that same activity has to be done from a spiritual standpoint. So everything in life can be seen, experienced and enacted from a spiritual standpoint. And then finally it has to be transformed into its divine image. So this is how everything goes on here, and plenty of stories. But we'll give a pause here. We'll have series of talks because this is the year we are entering into the centenary of the ashram. On 24th November 2026, there will be the ashram's centenary, because in a way, officially we may say, it was formed, but it was not formed in any human way. And that's why if you want to understand the ashram humanly, you cannot, because it's not a mentalized structure. You have to understand the aspiration, you have to understand the workings of the grace, you have to understand the Divine Mother's working, which means impossible. Because the Divine Mother, but one thing is there, which of course not here, but Mother has said in so many places. Here, you get the experiences you need for your growth. And I have seen so many times, if you are, let's say, an overcritical person, you will meet people whom you end up criticizing. Rightly or wrongly, because this is your problem, you have to work upon it. It's not people's problem. They may have this problem or some other problem. Similarly, if you are, let's say, a very generous kind of person, you will meet the challenges that a person, because generosity has both sides, that kind of problem you will meet. If you are a very emotional person, so you will meet that kind of a situations will come, issues will come. So it's very difficult for anyone who is not entered into this kshetra. It's a very, often I feel it's like a very special formation. Mother has spoken about it as a special formation. So the moment you enter, a different kind of energies begin to work upon you. And I have had this experience from the very beginning. Then when you become an ashram inmate, it becomes actually more intense. Whatever it is, it is something which you can experience it very in a very living, concrete way. It's one thing to come in the ashram, stay for 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, and participate in work in the ashram. Quite another to join the ashram. Now, again, when I say join, qualified, it's not about writing your name in the prosperity list. But now it's like saying that, well, now everything of mine belongs to the mother and she becomes the center of my life. So this is how the ashram has evolved, and we'll read some of the passages. Otherwise one can just go on. There is no end to what one can speak of in the ashram. First, the mother describes what is the aim, why people are here in the ashram. The usual sadhanas have for aim the union with the Supreme Consciousness, Satchidananda. She is not speaking of self. Self-realization, no. She is speaking of Satchidananda, because self-realization is the Brahman realization. But there is something which, as the Gita says, the Purushottama, who holds both the immutable and the individual immanent divine within himself. So it's the Satchidananda. And those who reach there are satisfied with their own liberation and leave the world to its unhappy plight. On the contrary, Sri Aurobindo's sadhana starts where the others end. Now, does it mean everybody in the ashram has realized it? No. But this is the roadmap and the goal. You cannot really participate fully in this sadhana unless there is a basic realization, at least of the divine within. At whatever point, one has to have that experience and the realization. Second is, because the goal is transformation eventually, you cannot ignore the outer life and realize it. Because otherwise, if you realize within and your outer life is left untouched, you can do a lot of meditation and realize. But then it is very difficult to get back to life, because this realization going only within exclusively may take several years. And then when you come back to outer life, you are not ready or prepared. Then one will do the same mistake as was happening in ancient times. Once the union with the Supreme is realized, one must bring down that realization to the exterior world and change the conditions of life upon the earth until a total transformation is accomplished. We must take all these words in their most highest, widest, impersonal sense. Because there are people who may just read this and say, oh, I have to transform the world by bringing down the divine. When you reach that point, there is no I. That is the beauty. It's like some people say, oh, mother has said wealth must be conquered for the divine. I must conquer wealth. Therefore, I must put in share market. There is no you beyond that. There is a point out of which you vanishes. So you is a way of saying that one must bring down. It's a way of saying that you cannot then be satisfied only with the Satchidananda realization. But you have to become open, completely, let her pour. Now all that is not mentioned here. But it's not in the egoistic sense that we have to change the world by bringing down the divine. Some people take it like that. And they start egoistically trying to change the world, change the ashram. So one has to tell them, pehle thoda khud ko change kar lo. Then, okay. And the logic is, in accordance with this aim, the sadhaks of the integral yoga do not retire from the world to lead a life of contemplation and meditation. The only thing you are supposed to do here is 6 hours of work. Actually, it is 8 hours. But now, concession. Because 1/3 of the time, that's how it is. Of course, you can do whole day work is going on. But you have to do the works. Works are stressed here because works open your dynamic parts to the change. Only meditation, contemplation, only bhakti doesn't open these dynamic parts. When you work, whether it's writing or something you're doing with the hand, or you're speaking, you're walking, all the physical body, the life energies, the nervous system, of course the mind, everything is involved. But if you are just contemplating, it's mostly the mind or some part within may be engaged in the yoga. If you are doing bhakti, basically it's the emotional being. That's why you can see certain bhaktas who become very unstable, even anger prone. So this is an integral yoga. So she says that in accordance, each one must devote at least 1/3 of his time to a useful work. So here come. Now she is not qualifying what work. Useful work. Now this is can be put in brackets. Each one has their own understanding. Useful work means a work which is not done only for one's own selfish interest. So a work which is done unselfishly. When the mother in 1914 had started this, that each one of you must at least 1 hour a day or 1 hour a week you should give for some unselfish work. So here useful work is something which is useful. We may use the word community, but again it leads to a collective ego kind of feeling, but certainly not done only for yourself. If that be the case, then that's what is useful work. All activities are represented in the ashram. And each one chooses the work most congenial to his nature. This is so important. We forget this. So it's not like where you are needed, you go there. This was not the original sense. It's important to remind ourselves. This is speaking of Swadharma. What goes with your Swadharma is what is most congenial to your nature. So this is the essence, but must do it in a spirit of service and unselfishness. That's the main thing. Keeping always in view the aim of integral transformation. Nobody is here to check what, because it's an inner process, your sincerity. It should be done with an eye of service, spirit of service, and in an unselfish manner. To make this purpose possible, the ashram is organized so that all its inmates find their reasonable needs satisfied and have not to worry about their subsistence. So there is food which is available, provided. There is a room which is provided. There is whatever you need once in a month on prosperity and once in 3 months. I mean, if you need it, it's provided. Basic things. You can't write in prosperity, I want, which perfume. He's not banned. He's not taboo. So some people think, oh, only on prosperity dress I have to wear. No, mother didn't say that. That this is provided for you. If you have more or if you want to use, there is no ban. You cannot use things. You have to wear only the dhoti which is given, provided by the ashram. She didn't say that. Because it's your inner state which is important. But you will be provided your basic needs. Toothpaste and other hair oil and soap. Even if we see, even the hours are organized in such a way that you have time for everything. Many people wonder why do the ashram departments, especially those which are engaged in sale, why do they close by now, I think 6, but otherwise 5 or 6? Because mother didn't want, it's not a money making organization. So you close so that now you have time for the sports activity. You have to build your this thing. And you have times and sports again. People could choose some sports in according to their this thing. Or they could just take walk. Choose your own exercise. And then of course you have time for meditation. You have time for some collective program. Time to time there are cultural programs for dining room, and then you come back. So by the time you come back, you are quite peaceful. So there is, timings are also organized in such a way. The rules are very few so that each one can enjoy the freedom needed for his development. But a few things are strictly forbidden. They are, so 4 things which are strictly forbidden. Again, nobody is there to monitor. It is you yourself who has to monitor yourself, because there are many things which mother never believed in policing. So as I said, if you are not following, you are the one who slide back. There is nothing like, oh, we found you engaging in politics or smoking and therefore you are out of the ashram. No, it's not like that. And nobody here is to point fingers at others. But it's left to your own sincerity, and there is a logic behind these rules. So first is, and that logic she has not explained here but at great length elsewhere. So one rule is politics. So politics is of two kinds, political parties, and second is internal politics. Wherever you have more than two people, there is politics. Okay. From the family, and sorry, but till any level. So, but here it is politics in sense of the parties. And the reason is very simple. Because you will have your own affiliations, you will vote, everybody has their own opinions. But when you start becoming spokespeople of a party, then every party has its own angle of vision. Besides, it, like the other day I was talking about the Lit Fest which was held in the society premises. So I said, see, I understand that all Lit Fests so far all over the world have been held, in India, were left oriented. So now some people who want to hold a right oriented Lit Fest. I said, all right, but you should not use these premises, because the moment you use the premises, then what happens? Tomorrow, every party will say, we want to hold our own affairs here. Can you allow that? Because then you are becoming favorable to one, unfavorable to other. Therefore, politics is a personal matter and spirituality is a universal matter. I'm reversing. So, this is the reason why. She is not saying don't. And if you join a political party, obviously you cannot do both things together. Again, because now it almost like, oh, this ashram has this kind of approach. It's basically right wing or basically left wing or basically centrist. Now, this is not healthy and this is not meant for good for your inner growth. So, you have your leanings, you have your opinions, viewpoints, you can express, you can write, you can vote. But to join a political party as a member, to canvass, campaign, or you know, while being an ashramite, you could be outside the ashram and do it, no problem. But as an ashram, ashram stands for something. That's the whole idea. And see how far-seeing it was, because how the ashram was attacked by political parties, because they misunderstood it to represent something. Second is smoking, and the third is alcohol. So smoking and alcohol, mother says that, you know, they bring the consciousness down. Smoking invariably attracts beings of adverse nature. This I know very clearly, and these beings get attracted because there is something to do with smell and sounds. In fact, all the five senses have to do with beings of the elemental energies. So that's why good fragrance keeps them away. It automatically attracts devic forces. And bad smell like smoking, it attracts very adverse kind of forces. So people get heart attack and all this, not just because nicotine. That's one part. But it attracts that kind of force. Even human beings have smell. And that smell attracts godlike or demonic forces. So that's why the ancient culture, you know, at least we grew up in that take a bath, at least in the morning, even in the evening. The idea was that, you know, the body itself, the energies, should not draw these forces. It was not just a ritual. So smoking and alcohol, as we know, it makes you very impulsive. It uncovers all those impulses which you withhold by reason. It knocks off the reason, rational faculty. So that's not good, because rational man is a human proper. To go beyond rational man is spiritual. But it makes you go below the rational man. It uncovers your animal instinct. So that's why alcohol is forbidden. And the fourth, of course, is sex enjoyment. So it's possible that, you know, things happen. But if one starts doing things only for the sexual pleasure, sexual enjoyment, then again, why? Because it pulls the consciousness down. Sexuality is at the most root chakra, Muladhar. And so we can either procreate or we can recreate or we can new create. So either it's procreation, recreation or new creation. So again, it's like a choice which each one has to make. And the process and all is, she's not, so many people start thinking, oh my God, now they get into guilt, they start doing unnatural stuff. No, that's not what Sri Aurobindo and the mother has said. So one has to read all that to understand how this energy has to be mastered. They didn't expect that a 20-year-old, the moment he joins the ashram. Generally, Sri Aurobindo and the mother did not take very young people. It was only after a certain age, because they knew that they get very conflicted inside because of the vital nature, which has its own urges. And the second is that there were also many concessions given. Like there were not only married people taken in, though as an individual, not that because the husband is devotee, so wife comes as a, you know, 1+1=3. It doesn't apply. She has to have her own otherwise individuality. And there are also instances where the mother allowed the person to have a child. Not one instance, three instances which I know of. And all three were ashram inmates. In which case she allowed the child. The child became an ashramite from childhood. So these things have to be understood in a very wide and plastic way. Otherwise people start getting into, you know, like in monasteries, what happens that everything is white outside and dark inside. So it's, you know, the human beings move in shades of grey towards the white. So one has to understand the process. Great care is taken for the maintenance of good health and the welfare and normal growth of the body of all, small and big, young and old, because body is the basis. So this is what she has said very beautifully. Then many people say that why don't we do some social activities like philanthropy and, you know, free service to, it's a question of you have a certain amount of energy, which way you want to direct it. So the mother says very clearly, ours is neither a political nor a social but a spiritual goal. So one has to understand what it means. Spiritual goal is about getting rid of ignorance. So the only worthwhile social activity, if at all, would be where you help human beings to awaken from their state of ignorance to a state of, you know, aspiration and wisdom. All other things are done everywhere. And mother has said that there are many things which are done everywhere and people can do it. But this is not the place for that, because here we are here to do something which we cannot, which is not done outside because they don't know it can be done. So here it is about doing your activity, but with the true inner attitude, then the true inner aspiration, then the true inner consciousness, etc., etc. So it's not about doctor doing free service, but doctor learning and slowly tuning himself to become a divine healer. And I often imagine that the ideal state would be that you don't need, you know, a doctor doesn't need to give medicine, he just goes and talks to the patient and says, okay, let me talk in Hindi. Bhaiya, sab theek hai. Koi bimari nahi. There is no illness, don't worry. And those words carry a power. After all, Sri Aurobindo has said, oh, cancer that can be cured by suggestion. Mental suggestion, she has used the word. So, we hope, and one day it will be like that, that we will not have too many ancillary services. We are multiplying right now still in that mental curve. It should be that we have few doctors and their role is basically everything is fine, don't worry. Give some gentle medication, do some little examination if you need. We are not here like AI generated. That is done outside. We don't need to. If that is what we have to do, we can. The world is there. In Pondicherry, you will have 7 or 8 hospitals like that. But here, the person should be so deep, profound, rooted in the mother, that all that is needed is to take a look and say, everything will be all right, and the person gets all right. So, this is what. And it's based on many things that the mother has said. So, I am not going into it, because people will say, but that's true. Like someone asked the mother, that why do we have filters in the ashram if it's not the microbes? Now, all these writings are elsewhere. So she said, how many of you are ready for the inner healing? Most of you, majority of you are living in the physical consciousness. Like you see, when vaccines came, more than anywhere else in the world, some of us were over enthusiastic to follow the government order. So that's because every layer of humanity is represented here. We must know that even the most tamasic person, ashram is a really heterogeneous grouping, not just because of different states of India that may or may not be there, but because different layers of humanity, right from the most animal-like to the rakshasic, asuric and devic type and human gradations, everybody is here. And Shobindu says that if only sattvic people were called here, then the problem of rajasic and tamasic humanity will not be solved. So they have also been brought under the larger spiritual umbrella. And there is a reason, purpose. That's why I said you cannot understand the ashram based on mental logic, because it's the Divine Mother's creation. What we want is a transformation of the individual consciousness, not a change of regime or government. There are many people busy with that. For reaching that goal, we put no confidence in any human means, however powerful. Our trust is in the divine grace alone. So each one has to become open, whatever time it takes. But this is the process. Each one has to open and become a receptacle, receiver and transmitter of the divine grace. For us here, there is only one thing that counts. We aspire for the divine, live for the divine, act for the divine. So, she describes then how when children came, ashram underwent a change. And she says that, well, we had to respond to that. And then something very interesting, page 109, something always one has to remember, because people try to, everybody comes and they have their own observation, good, bad, all kind, like any other place. And everybody has their own suggestions. But what has mother told about helping or improving? Because there is always scope for infinite improvement. The moment we say, no, ashram is perfect, ashramites are perfect, that means we have become an encrusted specimen. So I like to say this whenever, we go for talks outside. People say, oh, ashram, and they start saying. I say, all that is fine, but we are very regular people. We do watch movies. People cannot understand. They start putting you on a pedestal. So you have to say, look here, the same divine in me is the same divine in you. So we have to understand what the mother says. None of the present achievements of humanity, however great they are, this in 64, can be for us an ideal to follow. The wide world is there as a field of experiment for human ideals. Even for a medical department, there was a time that, this specialist, that specialist. I said, look here. Some of us have worked outside. If this is what we had to do, we could have joined Apollo or Jipmar or any other place. These places are there. You make a referral. What is the problem? Make a referral. People will see. Mother, after all, did speak of Jipmar as an extension of the... She said that Jipmar is where, people could be sent. But if here you are for that Shobhaji, then that's not what... something else is expected here. Our purpose is quite different. And if our chances of success are small just now, we are sure that we are working to prepare the future. How beautifully she says. It's difficult, very difficult. It's very easy to get, AI images and make a wonderful presentation of Sri Aurobindo Ashram, slideshow presentation, put some nice music. That's not real time. That is propaganda. Let people come, interact, see, feel how they feel within. That's it. So here, mother says, because here they want to do the real thing, not a makeover. That's why we don't have sannyasi clothes. Otherwise people start, ashram ke sannyasi hai. But if you talk to a sannyasi, I'm sure everybody has. I have had my Somebody was recently telling me something very interesting. He said, I have been giving all my money and there is this sannyasiji whom I have been giving money. Last time I bought a mobile phone 2 years back. Now he says, you know, I want another one. I want an upgraded version. I said, naturally, you are guilty of spoiling a sannyasi. A sannyasi is not meant to be offered money. Because sannyasi, how can you do? I said, you are humorously. I said, aap unko unke sadhana se padbhrasht kar rahe ho. Help nahi kar rahe ho. Sannyasi is meant, if you are really worth the name, sannyasi has to cut off then completely from life as it is and seek only the divine. But here, to live the divine life is extremely difficult. You are neither here nor there. Nobody recognizes you as anybody, and which is very good. Good to be grounded. But inwardly, you have to soar to the highest heights. And that's the challenge. So she says, we are preparing for the future. What a wonderful thing. What is being done here will get translated in the world. World may not know where did this hawa, wind came from. And this Nalinida, the mother, both have said, whatever is done in the ashram gets reflected in India and in the world. And I could go on pointing to certain tendencies. But that's a different subject also. Nalinida has written about it. The individual, the ashram and the world. Our purpose is quite different. I know that from the external point of view, we are below many of the present achievements in this world. But our aim is not a perfection in accordance with the human standards. So again, the same thing. Someone was telling me, there is a very huge meditation hall. I said, look here, you may have the most best comfortable meditation hall in the world. The man who will go in is the same human being. See, that is where Matri Mandir makes a difference. You may be the same human being, you are the same human being. But there is a concentration of force. It's not about meditation hall is so huge and so comfortable. Is there a way that there is such a charged atmosphere that you go there and spontaneously meditate? That would be something. You may create it in a small space, big space, wherever. So, it's not the achievements outwardly. We are endeavoring for something else which belongs to the future. That's what she reminds us again and again. The ashram has been founded and is meant to be the cradle of the new world. You see, it's not like forever ashramites. One must understand. Cradle is a cradle. So cradle is where the seed of the new creation, the little baby, must grow. Cradle is a protected atmosphere. Because, you know, child may... So if you look at ashram carefully, you will see that the saplings or seedlings or little babies of the new creation, so that in a certain atmosphere they can grow. Once they grow, it is bound to go all over because that's how the tree spreads. But this is the cradle of the new world. The inspiration is from above. The guiding force is from above. The creative power is from above at work for the descent of the new realization. It is only by its shortcomings, its deficiencies and its failures that the ashram belongs to the present world. None of the present achievements of humanity have the power to pull the ashram out of its difficulties. She has not mentioned the difficulties, but well, she knows best, most greatest difficulty is the insincerity. Because you may join the ashram, it's one thing, but to really be on that journey, to constantly have the urge to progress, aspiration, it's not easy. True surrender. It is only a total conversion of all its members and an integral opening of the descending light of truth to the descending light of truth that can help it to realize itself. So if you want to really help the ashram become better, I'm talking of those who are concerned, aspire. Open to that light. Become a hub of that light. Become a receiver and a transmitter of that light. All other mentalized ways are just simply gymnastics. The task, no doubt, is a formidable one. Again and again she reminds us. But we received the command to accomplish it and we are upon earth for that purpose alone. When the mother was asked that, you know, who has created, who is building Auroville, who has conceived Auroville? She says, the Supreme Lord. Who is building Auroville? The Supreme Lord. And then she says, it's a dream of the Supreme. And in course of time, they turn out to be more true than the so-called realities. So we should understand it's a long, I use the word DDP. So DDP is Divine Development Project. It's not the, see, not over 100 years, people will come and say, oh, wonderful, what are, you know, marvelous buildings. Look at how Samadhi is. Such an unimposing way, and that's typical of Sri Aurobindo and the mother. So even about sadhaks, when people come and talk about it, I say, don't meet the loud ones. You want to meet the sadhaks? You will meet many of them who are very quiet ones, very gentle, quiet. But you will see how the working is going on there. But you can notice only if you have worked within you. Otherwise, you will not notice what's going on in people. So, the task is difficult, but we have to take it. That is challenging, but all the more very good. So, this is the spiritual Dhurandhars who have to come and fight against most formidable difficulties. Once I can share this, a very interesting vision I had when just before the challenges had started, the whole pH issue. So, I saw that the whole, all of us, Ashramai, all of us, I mean not counting numbers, but there is a whole row in which, two rows in which all the ashram inmates are standing, and we have to pass the ball to the goal. So obviously there are no two sides. There is one side. This is the goal. I said, what an easy game. I am saying this, what an easy game. Are wah. But then what I saw was so clear and instructive. So there were just five or six people who were pushing the ball toward the goal. The moment it came to somebody, he pushed it back. So it was never reaching. Just imagine a game where you are meant to take the ball to the goal and everybody is on the same side. But, so you have just to pass the ball. So easy, no? 1, 2, 3, 4, and then there it is. You can do as many goals as you wish to. But, say, as it reaches, and some of them I remark, oh my God, oh, it's so clear, near and back. Then I understood how the ashram works. Because until the last person, Antodaya in the spiritual sense, is also taken in, it will always have a, you know, the mixed thing will go on. Because you have to take, it's a collectivity. The last person, it's not like one, some great sadhaks. Ashram is not meant to do that. There will be people who are more developed, there will be less. That's obvious, different stages, degrees. But the final shot is when all are aligned. That is the difficulty. And this experience I had when Dada's last year, when we had the, when was it, 2010 or 9, when we had the sports ground. So I was also participating in that. And then suddenly a whole thing started coming in my head. A million footsteps marching to a single tune. And then I realized why the importance of the playground, Dada, what he is doing to hold the march of humanity together and being trained to, you know, how this whole thing connects. And the day we all begin to march to the tune of the divine will, that's the day you will see the thing realized. No outer thing can do it. You can't put people and say, you better do it. If you don't do it, you will be out of the ashram. You say, you be out of the ashram first. That's what it means. Cling to truth meant that. To your own deepest truth, inmost truth. It requires a great courage to live by that. Not to point fingers, not to, you know. So she says, the task is difficult. We shall continue up to the end with an unfailing trust in the will and the help of the Supreme. So wonderful. Now, as they say, engaged for good, forever, in this work. The door is open. Now who is to come? Not those who are tired from life. This will make you even more tired if you are trying to take rest and peace. This tremendous peace here, but it's a very dynamic peace. It's not a kind of, loose peace. Very nice, peaceful you feel. It's a very dynamic peace, very creative peace. Peace which is one with Ananda. And so she says, the door is open and will always remain open to all those who decide to give their life for that purpose. The divine manifestation, the new creation, call it whatever, or simply the mother. So those who are ready for that, the doors are open. Last thing we'll read in this, and because there are many, as I said, we'll have this on a series on the ashram, because they are worth reminding, especially because we are entering the 100 years. So it's worth reminding ourselves. And the ashram is not only here now physical, because Mother has spoken of the ashram extending now in the subtle plane, wherever there is somebody who has declared himself to be a disciple of Sri Aurobindo. She uses the word intellectual disciple of Sri Aurobindo. We're just reading. So now this whole thing is extending and not just applying itself to a limited people who are based on prosperity list ashram inmates. So it's now extending everywhere. So she says, here we do not have religion. So people often ask. So they say that, you don't allow any of these deepam and all these things. So I said, flowers are there. No, you are not even allowing offering a flower. I said, see, today we'll allow these things. No, if I'm talking of not, I am nobody to allow. Stop. I said, tomorrow if somebody says, I want to bend down on my knees and do namaz, how are you going to stop? So actually this happened. I think some people know. Dara said, I want to do namaz. Because all the Hindu things are allowed here. Actually, they are not about Hindu things. They are Sanatana Dharma, which is the spirit of the ashram. So the Sri Aurobindo says, if you want to do your namaz 5 times, you can go anywhere in the world and do it. And then she explains that the ashram does not belong to Hindu religion or like that. But it's based on certain fundamental truths, which are Vedantic, which are Sanatana Dharma truths. But we don't indulge in, fasting and all this. Again, if you want to do individually, you can do it. If somebody wants to kneel down and do namaz in his room, it's up to the person. But as such in the ashram, those rituals are not there. It's your individual ritual you can devise. You can light up a deepam in evening in your house and it's beautiful. But in the ashram, basically go there, concentrate, be sincere, aspire, surrender, change yourself. Reject all that needs to be rejected. This is a much more difficult effort to light up the fire of aspiration within than to light a deepam outside. It looks very nice. So to that extent, it's very nice. So, and it's not banned or nothing. There are departments where they do it. And in many ashram programs, they do it. But as it's not religion in that sense that this belongs to this or that religion. We replace religion by the spiritual life, which is truer, deeper and higher at the same time. That's how we can understand the rishis of yore. They were deeply engaged with life, but they had made ascension of consciousness inside. And they were not, later on if you see ZTV and all that, what the life of Rishi is, they will see all these modern ideas which have come up. If you really go back to the time of the Vedas, how many temples were there and what temples were there? To whom, which god they were dedicated? The Vedic Rishis talk about it, that which god should we offer? Havisha Videham, Kasmaye Devaye Havisha Videham. Who are the gods? Talks Agni, Vayu, Indra. We don't even have all cosmic powers. So we should understand it reconnects with the ancient Vedic aspiration of transforming humanity individually and collectively. So it's not religion, but spiritual life is an extent. That's why he's saying it's higher. They are not on the same level. Again, nothing is a taboo for anyone. Anyone can do whatever they want to do, chant inside, people sit with mala, they do even pranayama. Nobody comes and tells you don't do anything. It's freedom. You want to do that way? Your connection with the divine, your... Nobody is here to teach, meditate like that. Nobody has the eye. Oh, you are meditating in the mind center. You have to do in the heart center. No. You may be meditating upon the meal. What they are going to give in the dining room. So it is left to the sincerity. That's why she says it's much more difficult. Then suddenly a guided meditation is much easier. That's what I often say. You know, there was a guided meditation thing here and all golden light coming down and everything. Then made me the chairperson. So after that whole thing was open, somebody had come. He said, you know, I know you people are here, but I will teach you. He started on a very arrogant note. What really the supramental transformation is. And he started with golden light, all image. It's nice. And there were people who were actually there in Hall of Harmony and they went into a deep sleep. So it was getting too much, you know, because this is gross insincerity. So luckily the dining room bell rang. So while he was just yet finished and he was waiting, you know, now for 10-15 minutes you have to lie. I said, by the way, dining room bell has rung. So if you people, those who want to have food, please go. That was my remark as a chairperson. Others can continue. Within 5 minutes. All the transformed humanity. And the person who had come from outside to great offense. I said, that's fine. We are talking nonsense. That's not how transformation takes place by doing. This is nice again. You want to do an imagery, perfectly fine. But don't mistake it. It's the, every aid or tool you can use to make yourself one step better. But don't make claims that this is supramental yoga. Supramental yoga is opening to the mother, preparing your every part, being sincere to that point where you understand all the insincerities within us. It's a journey and a wonderful journey, delightful journey, challenging journey. So she says that for the divine, okay, that is to say closer to the divine. For the divine is in everything, but we are not conscious of it. So everything that we do, from the glass of water to writing to handling to, I mean, we can imagine so many activities from bathing. Remember Udhar when he asked after 20 years, mother, how am I progressing? He said, well, okay. Okay, mother. Yes. Said, means, mother, what do you do when you wake up? He said, mother, I go to the washroom. What do you do? I brush my teeth. How do you brush your teeth? Mother, this is all wrong. You have to offer it, that you are doing it for me and offering it to me. You see, after 20 years, one can forget such. It's a basic practice. Wherever we are going, whatever we are doing, to remember and offer to her. Doesn't matter where you are going. Tell the mother so that she is with us and to remember her as often as we can. So the divine is in everything, but we are not conscious of it. This is the immense progress that man must make. No ordinary progress. Immense progress that the divine is in everything. Including the human being whose face you don't like to see. Though that may be the most challenging. Okay, so we'll continue these readings. Jai Ma.